It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
This is the MD's Fantasy Football Show with Dan Mader. Giving you the X's and O's of all things fantasy.
Well, hello, and welcome back to the MD's Fantasy Football Show. Thanks for tuning in to your favorite program of the week. That's right, right here with Dan Mader and Chase Thornton, the man, the myth, the legend, the man who's been holding down the fort the whole time. What's going on, Chase? How we doing today, buddy?
Well, held down my bar stool anyway for a couple of weeks. That's about it there. But yeah, hey, doing all right. I've got one eye on my Packers right now. Leading the Chiefs, I'm living the impossible dream here, at least hopefully for another 12 and a half minutes or so. Whoop, hey, let's hear you, buddy.
Oh, yeah, unmuting will help. Unmuting right. Would definitely help. You know what? Been a couple of weeks.
Welcome rocky. Back. Yep, welcome.
Only
back.
One show. We're getting there. We're in the mix. Yeah, I hate to pull you away from the Packers game, but thanks for joining us. And no, thanks for being on here.
I'm here.
Absolutely.
Sacrifice for the art.
Today's the Heroes and Zeros. We got the recap show, of course. Today, our right and wrong calls, some observational notes we have to get into for each and every matchup. So why don't we go ahead and just start off with that Thursday night game, our first, like, really good Thursday night game in forever with our Heroes and Zeros.
Dan's Heroes and Zeros.
All right, starting off, of course, with the zeros. I guess it has to be Tyler Lockett, right? He's got 8 targets, 5 catches, 47 yards. It wasn't an awful game, but the reason why he has to become a zero for me is because now he's starting to lose time to JSN, like legitimately. He's had 11 targets in this game last few weeks. He's been picking up the pace, and now all of a sudden we see Tyler Lockett starting to fall a little bit more by the wayside. We know DK Metcalf's going to do DK Metcalf things. We'll talk about him in a short minute. But if JSN is going to continue to get that 5 to 15 yard type of volume, that's going to cut into Tyler Lockett. So that had to be the zero for me in this one. What was yours in the Thursday night matchup?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to call him a zero. He wasn't like a roster killer, but I agree with you that, yeah, I mean, he's increasingly looking like the third wheel in this pass attack, which, I mean, when they're performing up to snuff and you have days like today, okay, maybe you can handle having him be a third wheel. You didn't draft him to be a number one necessarily. My zero in this game, to be honest with everybody, is the Dallas DST in fantasy. They were the consensus number one defense coming into the week, ranked. I had them there. That was dead at ECR at number one. They're defense 21. They scored you negative points in some scoring formats this week. You definitely did not expect them to give up a 35 spot to Seattle. So that's my only real zero. The only one that I felt I could call a real zero in the game was that Dallas DST was just a killer.
No, that's really fair. It gets a little tough because you know the Dallas is a gambling defense. When it goes well, it goes really, really well for them. You look at those turnovers, get the sacks and everything like that. But if it doesn't go their way, like Bland showed you on Thursday night, if he decides to gamble, they can get burnt deep too. And then even against the Seattle team that can put the infliction on them at that. And they get the Eagles next week. We'll have to see how that goes. But yeah, Dallas is a defense that you definitely have been riding for most of this time. You're right. But let's go to our heroes for this matchup too. We got a couple of them. Mostly the wide receiver position. DK Metcalf. 8 targets, 6 catches, 134 yards, and 3 hat trick, 3 touchdowns. CeeDee Lamb coming in with 17 targets, 12 catches, 116 yards, and a touchdown. His hot streak continuing in this game. Just loving the alpha dog wide receivers for me. Who are your heroes in this matchup?
Yeah, I'm going to second that DK Metcalf one. I had a live question on Twitter. Somebody X, whatever the hell, asking me about four different dudes, and DK was one of them. And I said, go with DK. I said, I know it's a bad matchup, but I'm 7 points higher than ECR on him. I said, I'm betting on the talent here. When he took that 73 yarder of the house, I thought it looked like a good call. Three quarters later, it looked like a flipping great call. So I'm gonna take a victory lap on DK myself. But I'm also going to throw Geno Smith out there because, listen, on a short week when there were six teams on bye, you may have found yourself scraping the bottom of the barrel. Now, nobody wanted to play Geno Smith, but the dude's quarterback won so far in a week with almost a 30 spot against a good defense that no one thought he would do. I don't know how many people played him, but good on that dude. I mean, it's not a personal victory lap, but on a short week, he could have saved a couple of people out there who did play him with a 30 spot. So
I would say if we're making it personal, I would have to put him as zero because I was, you know, dead wrong for ranking.
I had him at 19, dude.
I had him outside my top 18 too. I was not expecting that type of game against Dallas by any stretch of the means.
No one was.
We go in the observational notes. Here's my big thing. Talk about quarterbacks. I think Dak Prescott might be the number one owned player amongst championship teams this year. Now, their schedule does toughen up over the last few weeks, but he looks like he's on fire. And if they don't play a team that pushes them into the fourth quarter to clutch situations, Dak looks like he's just dealing right now. And I don't know if that cools down necessarily, because while their schedule from an NFL standpoint does tighten up a little bit, from a run defense standpoint tightens up a little bit, they have a lot of teams they can throw on. A lot of teams are probably forced to throw on. So I don't know if this goes away right now unless Dak just goes right back to what we saw first 5 weeks, which I just don't see that happening. So Dak's probably going to be like the number one player owned championship teams this year. And then Zach Charbonnet gets the knee bruise in this one. Maybe Kenneth Walker's back. But if neither one's back, DJ Dallas is going to be at the top, or at least amongst the top, in my waiver wire list. So just a little heads up there. What notes do you have of this game?
I mean, yeah, no, I agree with everything you said there. The other thing, I mean, yeah, you want pieces of this Dallas pass offense as long as it's rolling like that. Jake Ferguson should be a locked-in top 10 starter right now across the board. And, yeah, I mean, even Brandon Cooks on it looked like, you know, a useful piece this week. But CeeDee Lamb just sucking up all those targets. We knew he was a target monster coming from last year. If you paid attention at all last year, he had a giant target share last year as well. If they're going to throw it that many times, yeah, CD could be one of those guys too that is high up there on that list of guys on championship rosters. Just be this offense can do no wrong right now. It seems like,
yeah, 100%. All right, so let's go to our next matchup. Indianapolis Colts taking on the Tennessee Titans, and what was a doozy of a game, an overtime matchup, just going back and forth, kickers missing field goals just so we can get that overtime matchup in this one. But yeah, of course. So we got to start off with the zeros here in this one. And number one on my list was Josh Downs. 5 targets, 3 catches, 14 yards. He had made my top 30. He had 14 targets the week before coming back off of his injury. Someone that we've been putting in our flex situation pretty consistently over the past month in particular. And then this week just didn't deliver on the match we were hoping for.
No, I agree with you on that one. I had Josh inside my top 30 at 28, like you said, right on that flex line there. Unfortunately, he kind of had all his points kind of went Alec Pierce's way. Alec Pierce, a guy who hasn't necessarily been present for everything fantasy wise all season either, but it sure looked like everything that would have gone to Josh went to Alec Pierce's direction this week.
Yeah, and then my last zero was Zach Moss, because everyone started him, right? He's been an RB1 whenever Jonathan Taylor's not been in the mix. 18 carries, 48 yards, 3 targets, 2 catches, 6 yards. Not the performance you're looking for. The expectation you've had now for Zach Moss this season. He looked like Zach Moss of old. He looked like Zach Moss got kicked out of Buffalo, is what we saw here today. Now, I don't know if that continues. He got hurt for a little bit in this game. He did come back in. We saw a little bit of Trey Sermon. We know he's not really a factor when it boils down to it. I don't know. But what other zeros did you have for this matchup?
Well, no, those would have been the two directions I would have gone with that. Zach Moss, I mean, ended up not even being a roster killer based on some of the putrid scoring we saw this week at the position. He still was a flex worthy player, a low end running back too, at running back 23 on the week so far. But you definitely were hoping for more than 7.7 points out of him as a starter based on what he'd been doing. I mean, last week as the pure backup and just getting a little bit of scrub time at the end after Taylor's injury, he ended up with 9 points. So yeah, you definitely didn't get what you wanted of Zach Moss. Those are the two from this game.
Yeah, 100%. All right, so let's go to our heroes. We did some heroes, and just like two, we had two zeros on the Colts side. We did have two heroes on the Titans side. Derrick Henry getting 21 carries, 102 yards, and two touchdowns on the day. Got evaluated for a concussion injury. Didn't really come back in. From what I am hearing, it doesn't seem too significant, so I think there's a chance we see Derrick Henry next week, but with something we will have to watch throughout the week. My other hero being DeAndre Hopkins. 5 catches, 75 yards, and a touchdown. What I like even more than the results that we got was the 12 targets that he received in this game. This is what we want to see. We want to see these two guys getting the volume, because this is who you depend upon in your fantasy football lineups. Who are your heroes in this one?
In addition to those two, I'm going to add Chig Okonkwo, who didn't get you a ton of points at 9.4 fantasy points on the day. But again, on a short week with six teams on bye, I know we picked him up actually in the Belly Up Fantasy Live League because we needed a tight end with TJ Hockenson on the bye. And right now he's ranking tight end 7 on the day. I had him ranked down at 19. So personally, yeah, zero, bad call by me, but great call by me picking him up in that league because yeah, he ended up a top 10 play on the week, which is what he probably should be closer to, you would think, week in and week out with his athleticism.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that as well. Yeah, with the Henry thing, we'll just have to keep our eye on it. Yes. Tajay Spears, as a result, if you had not picked him up nice before, yeah, you need to make sure you pick him up. Yeah, was very good in Henry's spell, just like we expected him to be. I mean, this is why he was one of the top handcuffs to have on your team all throughout the years. And we knew if Henry missed time, Tajay Spears has the talent to produce. So, I don't know for sure that Derrick Henry's going to miss next week. With a concussion issue, it gets a little bit murky. It's always a possibility, but he definitely is going to have to be on the waiver wire list, especially if you're the Henry owner. And hopefully, if you didn't have Spears before and you were the Henry owner, this will be a wake-up call to you to make sure you have him for your playoff.
Get out there and get him. Yep.
He's been on my list, Chase, I think every single week at Belly Up MDFF Show, MDFF Show everywhere else on social media, because he's been less than 50% owned.
And he's been good. He's been good and he's been usable even in weeks that Henry has played. There have been weeks where Tajay Spears has been usable. Yeah. Today, yeah, he got a little bit of extra work after the Henry injury today, but he's a high to mid running back two scoring wise on the week in that role with 12.8 points today. And yeah, and he didn't even see the bulk of the work. If he gets the chance to see the bulk of the work, yeah, you've got a gold on your hands there.
So. Love the explosive ability. All right, let's go to our next match. The Chargers and the Patriots. I'm gonna make this so simple. Our zero for this game. I do have two guys I listed, but yeah. I'm just gonna say this. We all lost. We all lost in this game. Everybody lost. Everybody was a zero. If you watched this game, it was a zero. If you're a Chargers fan, it was a zero. If you're a Patriots fan, it was a zero. If you own anyone in this game, it was an absolute zero. Ramondre Stevenson gets hurt. He was off to a great start in the first quarter. Four carries, 40 yards with a fumble, and then he gets hurt on the fumble play. And it's just what a mess that was. Justin Herbert gives you nothing. Austin Eckler just continues to look like, blech. Going forward here. I mean, he had, what, 14 carries and 18 yards?
Yeah.
Looking at here, Keenan Allen, I guess if you're a PPR, he was okay. 5 catches, 58 yards. That was it. There's nothing. There's nothing that you're depending on here fantasy-wise.
Keenan Allen was a borderline flex play today,
yeah,
if that. And then he was about the only thing in the game that you could count on.
It was bad. So, needless to say, I don't have any heroes for this matchup, but I do have a question for you, Chase. And that is, why is Bill O'Brien still have a job? I'm always in offensive coordinators. They get fired. You know, we've seen coaches and staffs. They've been rotating. We're at that part of the year now.
Yeah. I mean, you think people should be calling for his head. We want Matt Patricia back. Ramondre Stevenson wise, anyway. If you're a Ramondre Stevenson owner, you want Matt Patricia back.
Playing upon when Stevenson even comes back because that ankle
issue. If he comes back, because
yeah. So the ankle issue. So this is what I have on the updated for that. A negative on the X-ray. So that's the good news. They expected the MRI is going to show a sprain tomorrow. The degree of the sprain, whether it's a high ankle, low ankle, severity of it, you know, that those are things that we're going to have to get into throughout the week. We're not going to know right now and tonight, but yeah, it's just Bailey Zappe starts, you still score 0 points. I don't even know what the point is of your offense anymore. And why is Bill O'Brien even have a job? Why are we bothering with this thing? It's just, I have so many, like, just why?
Right. And there's not a single piece of that offense you want. Even Ramondre healthy, we all know he's a good player, but he's not necessarily able to overcome the situation around him week in and week out. Last week, we got lucky on that. This week, he gets hurt. But yeah, I mean, Zeke Elliott will be popular on a waiver wire pickup articles, but do you want to deal with that? Do you want to chance anything coming out of this New England offense right now? I don't.
No, not at all. Let's just go to our next game. I don't even talk about this anymore. This game was ultra exciting. So we had Detroit and the Saints here in this one. And I'm playing in zero music, but there's no point because I have no zeros in this game. I mean, this was just absolutely phenomenal. Let's jump right into the heroes and we'll get into our observational notes. Chris Olave, not only does he not miss the game from a concussion last week, but he comes in, gets 5 catches for 119 yards.
Blows it out.
And you know what? I think it's more impressive than just the fact that he had a 100-yard performance. It was the fact that Derek Carr was not good in this game. Gets knocked out of this game, I know. We'll talk about it in a second. But he wasn't good in this game. The Saints' offense wasn't that great in this game. And yet Chris Olave still found a way to get the job done for you like he has for the past month. And so I think it was impressive from that standpoint. And then Sam Laporta, I mean, 9 targets, 9 catches, 140 yards, and a touchdown out of the tight end position. He's been a little bit due, hasn't had those big performances over the past couple of weeks, but they're showing you why he has to be a top 5 tight end every single week, even in his rookie year. So those are my heroes in this game. What were yours?
No, you got to lock him in at that top 10 play, like you said. I mean, Alvin Kamara had an Alvin Kamara day. I had him ranked at 3. He's at running back 1 on the week so far. So, I mean, good for you, but we kind of expect that out of Alvin Kamara. But yeah, Laporta's got to be locked in top 5. I would say you could give Juwan Johnson a 0 on the week because Juwan Johnson was a literal 0 in the game, and he was a popular pickup because of the uncertainty over whether Olave would play, and knowing Shaheed was out, knowing Thomas was out, there was a lot of speculation that it might be like a Taysom Hill, Juwan Johnson kind of day, and then here comes Jimmy Graham with his second catch of the season, second touchdown of the season, thinking it's, you know, 1999 or whatever again because he's ancient history. But that would be the only about 0 you could, because like you said, this was a fun game, phenomenal game. You didn't get quite what you wanted out of the Sun God today. You didn't get quite what you wanted out of Detroit's backfield, but they were still usable pieces and it was a fun, entertaining game to watch.
Well, yeah, because St. Brown still scored and David Montgomery still scored and Gibbs was still okay, even though he didn't get into the end zone with his touches and he was explosive. The Juwan Johnson thing, I know it wasn't on the show this past week because I was away and I'm thankful to be back. But yeah, Juwan Johnson was somebody I still had ranked well outside my top 14, even in a heavy bye week. So he wasn't somebody I was considering even a play necessarily. But you're right. He was a common pickup due to the fact that there was some cloudiness as far as what receivers were even going to be available for.
Olave beat the odds in terms of, I mean, even playing, because dudes in concussion protocol have not had a good track record this year of coming back the week after. The fact that he played after that was you know, beating the odds anyway, let alone then had the game that he had. So, I mean, there was a lot of uncertainty surrounding this and rightfully so, surrounding this Saints passing attack. But, hey, you'll take the points where you can get them with Olave. That was all right there.
No, that's fair. As far as my notes go, Carr gets hurt in this game. Was it shoulder, concussion? There was a third back injury.
Body.
Yeah, like just like he had three, literally left the game with three officially listed injuries. You don't see that very often. You get one official listed injury, you call it a day. You get three officially listed injuries. And Jameis Winston, I don't know. I'm leaning towards the fact that maybe Jameis Winston will be the starting quarterback next week. You don't love that if you're a Kamara owner, but if you're a Chris Olave owner, that's a good thing for you. I mean, he was off target in his throws when he did come into the game, but you know Jameis Winston's going to let it fly. You know he's going to give him 50-50 shots down the field. So you do love it if you're Olave there. Maybe not so much if you're Kamara, but that's something we're going to have to watch going into next week. On the Detroit side of the ball, I didn't have any notes because I don't really feel like we learned anything new.
Yeah. They won,
right?
They're good.
Yeah.
I mean, they started out real hot and then they let New Orleans creep back in. So they need to keep their foot on the gas and really pound teams into submission here. But hey, they pulled out a win. They're going to run away with the Central. Yeah. That's how old I am, folks. The NFC North, they're going to run away with it, but yeah, like you said, we didn't. I mean, hey, surprise
Central Division, but yeah,
right. Surprise Sam LaPorte is good. Surprise they can run the ball. Surprise they're, you know, yeah.
Well, surprise who's going to be involved? Like Jameson Williams gets the end around touchdown, but still overall his usage has not much changed as far as the snaps and his routes run. Like there's nothing really to read into extra here.
Right.
I think for Detroit. So let's just go ahead and move on to our next matchup. We have another game where I could pretty much just say we all lost as far as our zeros go. I'm going to throw Drake London under the bus, though. Five targets, one catch, 8 yards. I think pretty much everybody giving up on Kyle Pitts, giving up on Janu Smith. You know, you're playing the running backs and whatnot, but Drake London was somebody you still felt like you could maybe play. You knew it was going to be a tough matchup, but in a heavy bye week, still was probably flexing him in this situation. So I will throw him in here as a zero, and then after that say, well, anytime you have a Jets team, anytime you have an Atlanta Falcons team, generally speaking from a fantasy standpoint, we all lose just having to watch that catastrophe of a game. We're zeros in this one.
Yeah, no, he's the only one that I actually had kind of highlighted as a zero. Otherwise, like you said, we're all poorer for having had to watch that. So
it's a shame.
Nothing else to say.
Yeah, when you get a game like this, like I can't hit the zero. I can't hit the heroes music
and
drop.
It sucks because I mean they've been frustrating teams to watch all year because we know that Breece Hall has a ton of talent. Know Garrett Wilson has a ton of talent. We know Kyle Pitts, London, Robinson. We know these dudes are talented, but between the quarterback play they're getting and the play calling that they're getting, and the fact that in this game, the fact that the Jets got a good defense, so that's tough enough to go up against. The Arthur Smith factor, the Nathaniel Hackett factor, like none of the dudes that have talent in this game could actually do anything with that talent because they weren't allowed to.
Right, exactly. And just look, as far as like half point, full point PPR goes, Breece Hall is saving your day to some degree because at least he's getting involved in the passing game, especially Michael Carter out of the way. Dalvin Cook's still really just a big zero. He's just kind of there to give Breece Hall a spell here and there.
But why is he still there when you know this team isn't going anywhere and they refuse to even like look at Izzy Abanaconda?
I hear what you're saying from that standpoint. The fact is you still have Dalvin Cook on the payroll. You're not going to cut him at this point.
You're going to be paying him anyway at this point. So what's the difference if you play him or if you get a look at the dude that you drafted to hopefully be a playmaker?
You know what it is? It's the outside chance that maybe Aaron Rodgers returns week 16. That's exactly
so much bullshit. I
totally agree, but that's something we do have to deal with week in and week out. Trevor Siemian,
not me anymore. He's not. He doesn't live here anymore.
Well, that's
I don't have to deal with that every week.
Trevor Siemian, he does come in this game. Did bench Tim Boyle?
That's the least shocking development of the week.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much this matters. I think I have a little more confidence in Trevor Siemian as a quarterback. At least he's done it before. He's been able to run a professional offense before, yes. I guess it's your hope. But until this offensive line gets any better, like I'm hoping Breece Hall can bust it. But he showed you what's going on. before when Breece Hall was still like fantasy relevant, he still had to bust that one big play. If that big play is not there, the consistency, because his offense and his offensive line is so putrid, it's not there for you. It's just not. So Breece Hall, is he still somebody who's an RB2 for me based on the usage, based on the ability? Yes, 100%, but he's a boom or bust RB2. So you're going to have to ask yourself, I think, especially now that we're getting close to the playoffs, 1 week away from getting into the playoffs, that is he somebody that you can debank on? Do you need a floor? Do you need a ceiling? And I think that's what you're going to have to ask yourself week in and week out, because their schedule doesn't really get much easier for you going into the playoffs either.
Right. And it's listen, we are way past the time of year where you can look at your roster and say, but I drafted the guy. I don't give a flying flip right now where you drafted a guy to play, who you drafted, where, who you traded for a guy, you know, how much you spent on it does not effing matter. It's, can you count on this guy to get you some points this week or not? And right now, yeah, you're going to have to take a hard, long look at your roster and ask yourself, does Breece Hall give me the best, you know, opportunity here? Does Garrett Wilson give me the best opportunity here to score points at that position? Because there are real flipping questions right now with this New York Jets offense, and there have been questions if you haven't been paying attention.
Yeah, 100%. All right, let's go to our next match. The Arizona Cardinals and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Was it a 1 o'clock game? Was it a 4 o'clock game? We don't know. It was an all afternoon game because of the three delays that I had due to the weather that was going on in Pittsburgh. It was absolutely crazy. I didn't have any zeros in this game, actually. So let's go ahead and switch it to our hero.
Hollywood Brown.
Well, he got hurt.
I know he got hurt, but
I don't usually throw guys who got hurt into the zero category. Did he burn you with a goose if you played him? Yeah, sure, 100%. But when you get hurt, I don't know. I don't throw him.
I agree that I normally don't like to do that either. But he did get – I mean, he still had three targets in the game, which tied for the lead among their wide receivers.
No, you know, that's fair. Did he feel like a zero if you had him in your lineup? Yeah, no, he did.
Yeah.
But let's go to our heroes in this game. James Conner. Two touchdowns, 100 yards, got off the snide there a little bit. And Trey McBride with a huge game in his performance. How about that? Trey McBride getting back on track. Groin issue, be damned. He's going good. He's looking. He is the number one pass catcher for the Arizona Cardinals.
Yes, he is.
Not Hollywood Brown.
Definitely, definitely. And he, I mean, he was unstoppable there late in the game. I mean, they had that one drive. He had to score like three times to actually give him the touchdown. But he can do no wrong right now for them. He's locked in. And hey, Zach Ertz asked for his release. He was granted his release. He cleared waivers. He is no longer a headache for Trey McBride owners. You don't have to worry about him anymore. So as long as he's healthy, and today he showed it, even when he's banged up, he's healthy. Trey McBride is a locked in guy. Get him in your lineup and love it.
Yeah, that was the only hurdle left for Trey McBride owners who picked him up at the tight end position. It was like, okay, what happens if Zach comes back? Now you don't have to worry about that at all. That's exactly what you are looking for. They do have a bye week next week. So, it's a pain because it's week 14. You're trying to get to the playoffs. I get it. But if you're playoff bound already, then you love it because now Trey McBride gets to be 100% healthy going into our playoff week. We're set up perfectly for all that. So, yeah, you're happy from every standpoint when it comes to that. As far as our observational notes go, I had in here Hollywood Brown got hurt, re-aggravated the heel injury. He desperately needs the bye week. I'm not dropping Hollywood Brown, but he's still somebody that I would not consider anything more than a flex play. Deontay Johnson gets banged up, comes back into the game, is able to score a touchdown. It's a little bit questionable as far as that touchdown goes. But anyway.
Well, it was a makeup call from last week.
Yeah. Does get credited with the touchdown. Did come back in after the injury. So that's the good news with Deontay Johnson, who still with the Steelers offense, with the way they've been operating. And now it may be Mitchell Trubisky for the next 2 to 4 weeks as we find out, because Kenny Pickett's going to need surgery to help his ankle out. And it's short-term surgery, I guess you could say. But for pretty much for your fantasy football playoffs, you're looking at George Pickens, you look at Deontay, you're looking at any of this backfield. Mitchell Trubisky's going to be the starting quarterback now moving forward. That's going to adjust some things. Was that just for you?
I'm not sure yet how much it adjusts things for me, because I just think that Deontay Johnson is going to be the target hog in this offense, no matter you know what's going on. But what I do look at here is that, you know, I mean, hey, Najee Harris last week had a phenomenal week in his first week with, you know, without Matt Canada, without having to deal with that. And this week you look at their usage, and I mean, Najee separated himself a little bit more than he has in the past. Now he wasn't efficient like he was last week. Jaylen Warren still looked like, you know, explosive in that, but Najee is not going away. And I think that Najee is better without Matt. I mean, like most of them are probably in Pittsburgh, but I like Najee a lot more after Matt Canada's disappearance than I do necessarily Jaylen Warren right now. I know that we've all been, I had Jaylen Warren ranked ahead of him this week by two spots. I don't know that I'll be ranking Warren ahead of Harris going forward here. I think they're both usable as like running back two flex options going forward. But I actually like Najee more, I think, going forward. And hey, if it's Mitch Trubisky in there, he's got to be more effective. I think he's got to be more effective
I think this is dependent on the game script. I do. I think it's a depend on the game script. The negative game scripts, I do think it's going to be more Jaylen Warren. We'll see that more often. But I am with you. If it's neutral game scripts, we're going to see a little bit more of Najee Harris, at least as far as the volume is concerned. But Jaylen Warren is still getting 7 yards a carry in this game. Like, nothing's changed.
No, big time. But they were trailing in this game. They didn't like just turn to Jaylen Warren and say, oh, we're going to throw it your way all the time, or we're going to let the guy who we think is more of a home run hitter go. They stuck with Najee. So
they did. You're 100% correct.
Neither one of them is going away.
A mistake on their part. But yeah, that's definitely what happened. All right, let's go to our next match. Carolina Panthers taking on the Tampa Bay Bucks. This game went about as I expected. Adam Thielen came in as a wide receiver 3 for me, but I should have been even lower on him. I should have known better.
Yes. Yes.
Thomas Brown comes in. I've been saying this the whole time. Thomas Brown calls plays. Adam Thielen gets less than 5 yards target. It's no different today. 6 targets, 3 catches, 25 yards. And, you know, you fire Frank Reich, I don't think that improved anything. I really don't. What does that improve? Absolutely.
Yeah. Where are you better off this week than you were last week? Except now you have turmoil at the top of your, you know, coaching staff. And yeah.
Any other zeros in this game?
Other than Thielen, I mean, honestly, other than Thielen, no, because a lot of people gave you exactly what they either outperformed or gave you exactly what you thought they were going to give you. Like, quite literally, my rankings for this game were almost dead on per the number for every dude. Outside of Thielen, who I was way too high on, and Chuba Hubbard, who I was way too low on, but we might talk about him in a second.
Yeah, well, let's go ahead and hit him off, because that was the big hero of the day. 25 carries, over 100 yards, and 2 rushing touchdowns in a tough matchup, by the way, on the ground against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But here's the thing about Hubbard. Like, you're a hero today. We've seen this before.
Who the hell knows what'll happen next week?
As soon as you start to lean on the guy, Miles Sanders gets more involved. He disappears. It's all of a mess. But for today, at least, if you're forcing using Hubbard, and you might have been, I had him inside my top 36. You're happy with what you got today. So he was definitely a big hero for me. Mike Evans just continued to do Mike Evans things. 12 targets, 7 catches, 162 yards, and a touchdown. He's just performing every single week.
Yeah, there's no other way to put it. He's Baker Mayfield's favorite target. Baker better be buying him, a Rolex or whatever after the season or during the season, even for inflating his numbers too, and maybe keeping him in a job. Mike Evans has been just absolutely phenomenal. If you have not been paying attention, you need to because a 1,000-yard season, again, 10 straight years, every year he's been in the league, Mike Evans gets 1,000 yards like clockwork, except this year he got it with, you know, a quarter of the season still left. So,
not just that. This is the most impressive because Baker Mayfield is the starting quarterback. like you did we this know. Baker being the starting quarterback. That's Hall of Fame for me. You are now crowned. Mike Evans, you are now officially crowned Hall of Fame because you're able to do this with Baker Mayfield. I'm sorry, but you are. My only note here, Carolina, I kind of hit on it with the Adam Thielen thing, but like Chris Tabor's the head coach. Thomas Brown's back to being the offensive coordinator. And it's just outside of like you getting forced into having to play one of these running backs, who are you trying to play right now? Because they're clearly, with Thomas Brown there, there's clearly an agenda to get Jonathan Mingo the ball. But Jonathan Mingo and Bryce Young are not good enough for me to sit there and actually want to play Mingo anytime soon. I mean, I guess Mingo at this point will be rosterable because of the usage that he gets. But I don't know when you're going to play him.
Who at this point are you going to play him over that's not already that's already on your roster? I mean, he was a low-end wide receiver two today. In what might have been his best total game, top to bottom as a pro, he had 12.9 points. Like, who the hell do you want to play him over right now with any confidence?
Nobody.
Like I said before, you need confidence going here into the playoffs. Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with you. I mean, he's rosterable, but you don't want to use him. Dynasty leagues, leagues, you probably feel a little better about things right now.
But that's it, though. Like, so this is what I get caught up with. Like, our industry, like, we always talk about usage, and it is very important. Usage is the best predictor for weeks to come. But when it comes to certain guys, I don't care how much you utilize, because I know exactly how you're going to utilize. It's not in a fantasy productive way, ultimately, at the end of the day, at least not in a way when we're going into fantasy football playoffs that you're going to be actually trusting anybody. Is Jonathan rosterable because of his usage? Probably, but I don't know when you're plugging him into your starting lineup with two teams on bye next week in your playoffs after that.
No, exactly. And listen, 12 targets per game from Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback is much different than 12 targets per game with Kenny Pickett as your quarterback in terms of just like catchable type balls, things like there's deeper layers to this than just looking at, oh, hey, he got to touch the ball a ton of times. Jonathan Mingo, it's encouraging for his future. And, you know, hey, maybe he can turn into the guy that they drafted him, but I'm not wanting to gamble on that at this point in the season. Had we seen this kind of thing happening week 3, 4, and 5, it might have been a different story. But right now, I need to see it happen more often. And we're running out of weeks to see it happen more often.
Breaking news.
Yeah, I mean, for those of you who don't know, if you're watching us on the YouTube live stream, thank you for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe and hit the bell notification. If you're listening to the podcast, we record this episode on Sunday night, so it's while the Sunday night game is going on. Christian Watson just got an injury. Yeah, non-contact. Yeah. They're saying possibly hamstring. So we'll have to.
Yeah, it looked like it. He clutched the back of his leg. He was on an end around, and he ran for a first down. He was trying to stay in bounds, and as he tried to make his cut, He kind of crumpled awkwardly to the ground and kind of reached back initially, which is probably a better sign than knee in terms of long term. But we may or may not see him here for the next week or two. This is disappointing
because, you know, you had Jordan Love is finally starting.
He was
to play
playing
better.
Like a champ.
Yeah. Is finally starting to play better. So disappointing to see that. We'll see what comes of that over the week to develop.
I tried not to throw a fit on air.
Figured I had to throw you a bone there because I know you're watching that game closely while we're trying to do this. Let's go to our next matchup. The Dolphins and the Washington Commanders. Pretty one side of the fair. Terry McLaurin goosed you. So that's the number 1-0 right there. Goosed you.
Like, yes.
I don't know if I was expecting as big of a game. In fact, I wasn't, because I had him ranked lower than ECR this week. But I was not expecting a goose in a game which I expected to be pretty high scoring. And ultimately, it was. My other one, though, is Waddle. Now, while statistically Waddle didn't completely screw you over because he did have the 5 catch, 52 yards.
Yeah, but he kind of did, though.
Tyree Kill go off the way he is. And it's the Washington Commanders, and you're waiting for Waddle to have these big bust-out games that are just not coming. This is a game which you're expecting it to come.
He had at least one big drop in the game, too, where he could have had more yards, he could be doing better. And just all season, he's kind of just been just slightly below where he probably should be and way below where we kind of want him to be, especially the way that this offense is performing as a whole. He was way disappointing, but even so he got you over double digit points, so he didn't kill your roster. But Terry McLaurin, you definitely weren't expecting a zero, and you were definitely expecting more than 3 targets in a game you knew they were going to be trailing pretty much from the time they got off the goddamn darn bus.
Yeah,
so, I'm what's going on?
Bring the ball out and getting the mismatch, but
he's your best,
you need to get your best player the
receiver.
Yeah, it's frustrating from that standpoint. Let's talk about our heroes though. So my heroes for this game, obviously Tyreek Hill. Seven targets, five catches, 152 yards, two touchdowns. The guy's just unreal. On his career pace, he called it from the get-go. And unless he gets hurt, there's no reason to think he's not going to get to his 2,000 yards at this point. The other one being Devon Achan. If you went back to the well after last time, you got burned. You were paid out dividends this time around. 17 carries, 73 yards. And two touchdowns, the 17 carries really being the key for me in this one, getting that kind of volume. What were your heroes in this one?
Yeah, he was a personal zero for me because I had him way down in the 30 still, and I was scared off. I was one of those people who owns him in my home league and was scared off, but I'm still going to pull out a win, so I dodged that bullet. My personal hero right now today from this game, I'm going to go with Sam Howell, because not just from the standpoint of a short week, but I had him ranked at number 10. He's quarterback 7 on the day, pending the outcome here of the night game. But Sam Howell scored you a couple of rushing touchdowns. No, he didn't throw the ball great. No, he didn't get the ball to Terry McLaurin. But he's mobile enough that he was able to escape this defense, get free, get you points. And we don't care how the points are scored necessarily, as long as they're scored. Sam Howell, a top 10 play this week. And like I said, it's a personal hero and a personal win for me because I had him ranked there as well. So.
Yeah, it works out. Gets two rushing touchdowns, and that, like you said, that's all you really need. It's the thing about Sam Howell this year is that if he's not getting it done through the air, he's getting it done with his legs. And
right, you know, he's still among the league leaders in passing yardage. Yeah. So he is proving that he can play the position and get the ball, you know, out and downfield. And then from in our world, we love to see a guy that can use his legs at that position. And Sam Howell is that guy, kind of sneakily. So I mean, we didn't necessarily expect him to be kind of as effective as he has been running, but no, I'm cautiously optimistic in him, like dynasty wiseness going forward.
Sure. My notes for this game, talking about Devon Achan's usage. So him and Raheem Mostert, Mostert outworked him a little bit in the first half, but it was a series by series rotation. And then once they had the game well in hand, they kind of let Achan get going in the second half of this game, which is really when he put up the majority of his fantasy points to begin with. But it just shows you that one, he's definitely healthy. And two, he's still the, I would say, the 1B to Raheem Mostert's 1A when all things are equal. But that's only when all things are equal. So to kind of keep that in mind as far as what your expected game scripts are concerned when the Miami Dolphins are taking the field. My other note for this game is that you can't look at the Dolphins defense as a team that you want to take advantage of. With Jalen Ramsey back and Howard on the other side, this is not a team you can attack on the perimeter very easily. The slot receiver is going to be the key, is going to be who you're going to want to have when going up against the Miami Dolphins, and still the running game. Still, the running game can still be had here against the Dolphins as well, but this is not a defense which you look at and say, hey, you know what? High scoring points, I want everybody I possibly can, unless, of course, they're studs to begin with and you're playing them regardless. But this is not an easy matchup, and I think you guys need to keep that in mind as we go into our playoff weeks coming up.
Yeah, no, their rankings have been right outside the top 12 everywhere except at running back. Like you said, they're a tough, tough matchup. They're a bottom 11, bottom 12 type matchup there at the running back anyway. But, you know, and the other ones, I mean, yeah, they're right there. I mean, they're not a great matchup defensively, like you said. And that's not necessarily the case for some of these other elite offenses that have been playing. And, you know, people are playing from behind and throwing the ball all over the place. Miami can't necessarily be had that easily. So yeah, I agree with you. It's something you're going to kind of want to watch going forward.
Yeah, 100%. All right, so let's go to our next match. Denver Broncos and the Houston Texans, competitive game all the way throughout. I don't have any zeros in this game. Do you?
No, not necessarily. I mean, Devin Singletary didn't get you any points, but he's right dead on where I had him pegged for the day anyway. I had him at, yeah. I had him ranked at 26. He was running back 28 coming into the night game here. So, hey, you know, otherwise you got pretty much across the board where you thought these guys were going to hit. So nobody killed your roster today.
Right, exactly. The only thing that sucked was Tank Dell, who, again, got hurt, though. And that's why he wound up getting you a zero on this one. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That was a can't help situation. Unfortunately, a broken fibula or a fractured fibula, done. I should say. Done. So he's done for the rest of the year, which is really a shame because he's been a really lot of fun to watch. But the guy who was a hero in his place, Nico Collins, 12 targets, 9 catches, 191 yards, and a touchdown in the game. And if Tank Dell's going to be gone the rest of the year, that frees up targets for somebody else. And that number one receiver for this offense should be Nico Collins more weeks than not. Now, we'll talk about Noah Brown in just a second. But for now, Nico Collins might be entering high-end wide receiver two, if not top 12 wide receiver territory from here on out for the rest of the season. So that was the big hero for me in this game. What do you got?
No, I agree with you. And like you said, in the absence of Tank Dell, I had him ranked top 12 this week anyway, with Dell in my top 10 at 7. But in the absence of Tank Dell in this prolific passing offense with the way CJ Stroud's been playing, now that Noah Brown is back and they still have Robert Woods there, you know they're going to get Dalton Schultz back at some point. Nico Collins, yeah, is turning, will be an absolute rocket to the moon.
Yeah, well, I just... Yeah, it's tough for Tank Dell, but at the same time, Nico Collins, he's been kind of like hit or miss ever since like that first 6 weeks of the season. He's back to being what you had earlier in the year. It might be a gem that actually propels you for the rest of your playoffs. My notes, though, go with is that I don't sleep on Noah Brown. I know he didn't do anything in this game. I don't think you were depending upon him to do anything in this game. I think he was more of a stash going into this week right than anything else. But he played. He didn't have a setback. If Tank Dell is going to be out, we've seen this Texan receiver group. When somebody's out, the target share gets consolidated around the other guy. So if Noah Brown is going to be healthy next week and he doesn't have a setback this week, I think Noah Brown, somebody we're going to be talking about as potentially a top 24 wide receiver, not just this week coming up, but the following weeks after that. I know they have a tough matchup. I think they play the Jets next week. I know it'll be a tough one, but outside of that, the target share is there for Noah Brown if he's healthy enough to take advantage, and we know he can eat alongside.
We have seen it, yes. We've already seen it. So, nope, I agree completely.
And then you brought up the Singletary thing. It was my other note here. You brought up the Singletary thing. Wasn't really as prolific as we've seen him be. Damian Pierce actually had more touches than Devin Singletary.
Yeah.
And the Damian Pierce thing isn't really what bothers me. What bothers me is the Agunbale thing. Is that
they seem determined to get his ass in the game and not just as a kicker. They put him in there a lot. Now, he only had two opportunities. But, yeah, they kept kind of shoving Dario Agunbale in. Was that?
It was red zone opportunities.
The Damian Pierce Singletary split. I said last week we couldn't tell anything from what happened because they didn't run the ball enough to be able to actually see what that split was going to look like with both of them healthy. Now that we see both of them healthy and we see Damian Pierce take a 15-8 split in terms of the rushing attack, I'm a little worried because Singletary should be the dude, but it doesn't look like he's going to be the dude. So basically stay away from both of them and just focus on the pass attack in Houston.
Yeah, I think you still have to continue to roster both because if one gets hurt,
yes, yes,
the volume. Yes. But until somebody is injured or there's just one guy getting the volume, I don't think you can play either one of these guys right now either. So they're both roster stashes at the moment, unfortunately, eating into each other. All right, let's go to our next matchup. We got the Cleveland Browns, the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams taking care of business at home. I don't have a zero in this game. Do you?
I mean, David Njoku didn't do anybody any favors. I had him ranked at 6 for the week, and he was he's tight end 19 coming into tonight.
For the week.
What?
You have 6 of the week.
He's got 30. He had 33 targets coming into today, and I figured Joe Flacco, captain checkdown, would be looking his way and Ford's way and Hunt's way all damn day.
Oh, Chase, we would have had a showdown, buddy. We would have had a showdown,
but we didn't. So you were living it up half a planet away. So up your ass.
Yeah, you're lucky. You're very, very lucky. All right, let's switch it to the heroes. Let's switch to the heroes. Okay, Kyren Williams, baby. This is not an easy matchup against the Cleveland Browns. 88 yards, touchdown, 5 targets, 3 catches, 24 yards. And just to kind of hint into my note a little bit here, dominated the carries again. Dominated the touches again. Dominated the snaps again. We were a little bit worried last week. Royce Freeman was kind of worked in along with Kyren Williams. Not this week. It was back to being the total 100% Kyren Williams show. He's a must start every single week, regardless of matchup. And Puka Nacua, woo, is he now better than Cooper Kupp, regardless of availability? 7 targets, 4 catches, 105 yards, and a touchdown in this game. not to mention the rushing,
yes,
the end rounds that he was getting in this one too. And in and out, he had a lot up with a rib injury. Puka Nacua, a big hero for me in this one. What do you got?
Nope, that was my hero, was Kyron Williams. You could have put Puka Nacua up there. He's a personal zero because I had him ranked at 27. I also had him as a guy that I was leery of starting with Cooper Kupp, you know, playing in the game. But hey, you know, let give credit where it's due. Puka Nacua had a great game. And yeah, I mean, we might be seeing a bit of a change into the guard there in terms of who's the true alpha dog in that lineup. Now you're gonna have to keep watch on Cooper Kupp, no matter, you know, what you think of Puka Nacua. Opposing defenses have to account for Cooper Kupp if and when he's on the field. But it's arguable. It's not the ridiculous statement that it would have sounded probably, you know, 3 months ago.
I mean, Kupp scores in this game, so that's the good news. He played Kupp, he did score a touchdown in this game. But the fact is, the usage, the overall opportunities, they haven't been there. It is Puka now. Puka's going to be the guy I have ranked ahead in this lineup until something changes. I don't know if it's just Kupp doesn't want to open it up completely because of the hamstring issue.
Leery of the injury.
But he's definitely missing a step. Regardless of how you want to break down whatever the reason may be, he is missing a step right now, and it's affecting the play. It's affecting his volume on the field. He is not a wide receiver one, and I think it's going to come into question whether or not week in, week out, he can even be considered a wide receiver two. Therefore, I think we're talking about Cooper Kupp as a guy who might be looking in the same lens of Adam Thielen, where he's not always going to be a must start. And I think it's going to have to look at this.
So between the two right now, who are you more confident having in your lineup, Austin Eckler or Cooper Kupp?
Oh, Austin Eckler, Cooper. Well, I think so because the running back situation, the landscape of the running back field, I think you're still going to have to be forced into playing Austin Eckler, no matter what the case may be. But you know, it's a good comparison.
I mean, listen, there was that kind of joke that came out when they played the Packers, and that's just by complete coincidence that, you know, don't read anything into that, me being a homer or anything. That run that he had, that one play that he had down the sideline where he looked like a fullback running through freaking molasses, to sound like an old man. Ever since that game, I mean, like, he hasn't looked necessarily the same. And I don't know, like, that play wasn't the trigger, but that play was kind of like the giant red waving flag to be like, Austin Eckler doesn't necessarily look like the Austin Eckler we all have grown to know and absolutely love in fantasy. He has not proven himself to be that lockdown every week must start and, like, by default, put him in the top four of your rankings every week like that. Cooper Kupp kind of aiming that same direction right now, where we always just kind of assumed, oh, if Cooper's healthy, get him in the lineup. He's not giving you that right now. And this is not the time of year to be playing around with that kind of thing.
No, not at all. So yeah, again, it's going to be dependent on your matchup, depending upon your options.
Yes,
I think you're going to have moving forward when we're talking about Cooper Kupp. As far as my notes go in this game, we talked about Kyron Williams already. So my other only note that I want to hit on is Joe Flacco offers hope. Now, Amari Cooper got banged up in this one. We're going to have to watch him. But Elijah Moore had 12 targets. So we think Amari Cooper is going to miss next week. Elijah Moore is going to be my top 36. Like, he's going to be a flex play. He's going to be wide receiver three.
He saw a career high in targets today, and by far a high in targets since he's been a Cleveland Brown.
Yeah. And this is probably the most competent I've seen the passing attack for the Cleveland Browns look all season, with Joe Flacco coming off the couch.
And he's got some work to do too, but because he's come off the flipping couch, he made a couple of unfortunate throws. The interception that kind of basically ended the game was a terrible throw, but the communication on that might have been off too. We'll have to wait and see.
Clear and obvious to me. So, like, I know technically speaking, Joe Flacco is listed as number two in the depth chart. And he starts this game because DTR was out due to concussion.
And he's my age. Yeah.
There's no way that you can look at this game and say to yourself,
DTR gives us a better chance to win.
No chance. Joe Flacco looked far and away like the best quarterback they had outside of Deshaun Watson this entire season.
This loss hurt them. This loss hurt them, but it did not kill them in the playoff. Like, they are still very much in the thick of it, in the hunt. They have everything to play for. They still have that defense. today's performance not necessarily withstanding, but they still have that defense. They still have Jerome Ford. Yeah, I agree with you completely that today was, I mean, a glimmer of hope. He was a low-end quarterback one on the day.
If you have Amari Cooper, if you pick up Elijah Moore, you have hope. That's pretty much what boils down. You have hope. And that's something we haven't really had much of coming out of the Cleveland Browns. No,
I agree.
Let's go to our last and final matchup for today's show. San Fran, baby. Oh, yes. San Fran. Oh, this is beautiful. All right. I got to hit the zeros. I got to hit the zeros. Okay. DeAndre Swift.
Yes.
He was the zero in this game. Didn't get hurt until the end of the game, so he still makes my zero list because only 5 carries, 13 yards, 6 targets, 2 catches, and 70 yards. And as bad as this game was, he's not just a zero for me this week because of this one match against a tough San Fran defense. It's the fact that really, since DeAndre Swift had his big explosive games early in the year, and you've had these higher than reality expectations week in, week out because of those games, he has not been performing to what you need him to be. And our expectation now for Swift, even if he's healthy and back on the field, and we're going to have to get into all that throughout the week too, because Kenneth Gainwell might be a top pickup as a result.
Big time.
He might only be an RB3 now. Outside the top 24 guy moving forward type of deal. That's what we talk about with DeAndre Swift. So he's a zero for me on multiple levels. What'd you have in this game?
Yeah, no, he was the 1-0 I had listed from this game too. And like you said, with Kenneth Gainwell, if Gainwell is the starter, thank you, Jai. Yeah, sorry. Hey, we'll talk about that in a minute. Listen, if Gainwell's the starter, Boston Scott sees much more time. Rashad Penny might actually see the active roster on game day because none of those guys offers you what DeAndre Swift does in total package. DeAndre Swift has been used not just in that DeAndre Swift Detroit role where they throw him the ball occasionally. He's been their bell cow guy. He's become that for them. And if it's anybody but him in the starting quote unquote role for Philadelphia, that means the other guys are going to get much more run than they did before. So like you said, even if Gainwell ascends to that starting role on the, you know, in your program, it doesn't necessarily make him a top option in fantasy, even on an offense as prolific as Philadelphia generally is. I agree with that completely.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how you have to kind of look at it here. All right. So let's switch to our heroes of the week. Deebo Samuel. I can pick many heroes, but Deebo Samuel is the biggest one. 4 targets, 4 catches, 116 yards, 2 touchdowns to the air. Oh, by the way, 3 carries, 22 yards, and 1 rushing touchdown this week as well. The hat trick for Deebo Samuel. This is why I had Deebo Samuel in my DFS DraftKings lineups. This is why I had Deebo Samuel ranked ahead of Brandon Ayuk for this particular week. He had this game circled in his calendar. It was no doubt in my mind Deebo Samuel was going to be the big winner this week, and he absolutely was in every level of it. Absolutely incredible for him. What you got in this game?
Nope. You know better than maybe anybody. I am not a Deebo guy. I have not been a Deebo guy. I've been vocal on the idea that I thought Deebo was overdrafted at his ADP in preseason, but I did have him ranked ahead of Ayuk by 1 spot. I had them both in the top 10 this week, and Deebo definitely delivered on that. I was 4 points higher than ECR, and he even outshot that for me. So yeah, Deebo is by far my hero. Although there were many offensive heroes in this game, as we kind of expected. This was a game where if you had an offensive weapon in this game, put the dude in your lineup. Not that you were going to not anyway, but regardless of the matchup with San Francisco, even your Philadelphia Eagles, I mean, scored well. So no, this was a fun game to watch. I don't know why anybody would have been watching anything but this game in the late window.
Yeah, unless you had 2 TVs, which, you know, I do. There's no way I wouldn't have had this game and Red Zone, you know, like not on. Like that's is the only focus game.
I came back from Thailand to my 2 TVs, Buffy. Oh,
even if I wasn't a 49er fan, I still would have had this game on at the 4:00.
This was the game to watch. This was the game to watch.
And from a fantasy standpoint, I my observational notes are blank because we didn't learn anything new from this.
We knew these two teams were offensive juggernauts, and everybody that should have scored a point. So,
right. Yeah. Like, you know, you're playing Christian McCaffrey and Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel and George Kittle and Brock Purdy. You know, you're playing Jalen Hurts week in and week out, who got hurt for a little bit, came back into the game, so you're not as concerned about him moving in the next week. We know you're playing AJ Brown, Devonta Smith. So, like, you didn't learn anything extra in this game, other than maybe if your expectation for DeAndre Swift was a top 20 running back beforehand, maybe we need to start shifting that to being more of a higher end RB3. We're debating upon whether or not he's a flex play or just an automatic start in your lineup. That's the only thing for me in this game that may have changed.
I am disappointed that with the blowout that this thing became, that Kyle Juszczyk didn't get an opportunity inside the red zone. Because I like to see me some Kyle Juszczyk.
Oh, man.
Stumbling. this was a great game to watch. Fantasy-wise, for you as a 49er fan, for the rest of us, great. We got to see the top team at least get knocked off and a new team ascend. So, yeah.
Well, yes. Yeah, so look, from an NFL standpoint, Philadelphia Eagles, they still hold on to the best record in the NFC. Right, they still only have the two losses. They get Dallas next week. And I will say this, if they don't lose to Dallas next week, I don't know if the Eagles lose again. You got Seattle, Giants twice, Arizona outside of that. Like, they don't, there's nobody to lose to. So if the Cowboys don't beat them, the Eagles still might wind up with the number one seed by the time it's all said and done. But this does make you think that maybe, regardless of record, San Fran might be the number one team in the NFC. So
it should definitely be a more competitive game if and when they meet in the playoffs than it was last year.
I said this is going to be our final game, but typically speaking on this show, the Sunday night game doesn't end so abruptly. It already did. So you know what? Let's go ahead and recap that Sunday night game. And we're doing this on the fly. We're doing this on the fly. But I do have a zero in this game, and that would have to be Jaden Reed. 4 catches, yes. 18 yards on 5 targets. Somebody who I've actually moved up and ranked him ahead of the other Packer wide receivers because of the usage, the Swiss Army blade, the Deebo Samuel blade, if you will, that he has been having. This is not the game for him. And it doesn't change anything for me moving forward, because in Jaden Reed's case, Christian Watson, we'll get into it in a second, we may be missing some time. We'll have to see. But yeah, Jaden Reed was the only disappointment for me in this one. You got any zeros in this game?
No, because I'm too thrilled with how the whole thing went down. And plus, like you said, everybody that should have scored basically outside of Jaden Reed. And he was still much more effective on the real field than he was fantasy-wise. Sure. So, I mean, yeah, it's not like he played a terrible game. He just, we have become to think of him as the most consistent of those big three Packer receivers, Dobbs, Watson, and Reed. And he definitely did not give you that kind of scoring usage tonight. So.
Sure. Yeah, let's switch to the heroes, because I know that's what Chase wants to talk about. I'm sure Christian Watson, despite the injury, right, 7 catches, 71 yards, 2 touchdowns on 9 targets in this game. And I guess let's throw Isaiah Pacheco in there, who got ejected in this game, by the way, if you did not see it. But
a personal foul on a possible turnover.
Yeah, 18 carries, 110 yards, and a touchdown. He had a big week in this one, too. So what's your heroes in this game, Chase? Go ahead.
Jordan Love, who has been much maligned in the public opinion and the public eye, is now your quarterback 5 on the week. He has another game with 3 touchdowns, no interceptions today. Threw for 267 yards against a team that had been very effective against the pass. So, listen, everybody wearing green and gold was a hero tonight, because they are now in the playoffs, playoff picture.
Yeah.
Legitimately, not just like, they're not just on the graphic, like hanging out on the bottom right of the graphic. Like, they're actually in playoff position right now, and things fell pretty well for them today across the rest of the league. So you can take a victory lap at the top of the playoff standings right now, but I'm going to take one lower on, because we did not think we were going to be here this year. I still have no illusions of the idea that the Packers could and would do anything in the playoffs, but making the playoffs in year one under Jordan Love would be a gigantic, step forward. That would be major progress for this team.
No, I mean, you talk about a quarterback who we all kind of like resigned that he wasn't the guy. He just wasn't the guy. And right. Also, over the past month, he's been playing a lot better. And even for fantasy purposes, he's somebody now you have to pay attention to and probably should be rostered. I know he's been on my waiver wire graphic for the last couple of weeks in a row. I have had no illusions about where Jordan Love has been trending as far as his statistical performance has been either. We'll see what the Christian Watson thing does, but I think he's still got enough weapons. Like, you still have Jaden Reed, you still have Romeo Doubs. You're getting enough out of A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones's absence. And he just looks more confident right now over the past few weeks.
They're starting to grow together. They're starting to actually exactly what Green Bay's upper, office, front office was hoping would happen is starting to come to fruition. I've said it before that they've been justified already in the fact that like the receivers that they've drafted, the talent they brought in at receiver is legitimate talent across the board. Like all of those guys, even their lower end guys like Dontavian Wicks. But they're starting to finally grow together, and that's having a major effect on Jordan Love's usability in fantasy. Over the last five games, he's quarterback 6 overall. I mean, he's trending in the right direction and giving fans like me hope that he might be able to be a guy. I still can't say the guy, but a guy going forward.
Yeah, definitely a lot more confidence than he had earlier on. My only other note for this game, well, I guess two notes. One would be Rashee Rice continues to be the top target. He's establishing himself with Mecole Hardman out of the way. He's allowed to play the slot all game long, and now he gets 9 targets in this game. 8 catches, 64 yards, starting to establish himself as the guy opposite of Travis Kelce as far as being that dude. And then the other note would just be staying on the Chiefs side of the ball. Patrick Mahomes continues to just be mediocre for fantasy football purposes. He's a great NFL quarterback. There's no doubt about it. But for fantasy football purposes, without having another explosive weapon next to Travis Kelce, he just has to do too much too perfectly for him to actually put up points. And you're playing him every single week, but he's a low-end QB1 the rest of the year. He's not. I don't think he's going to be responsible for winning any championships.
No, and that hurts big time because that's not what we drafted him as, and that's not what we've come to think of him as. But, you know, like you said, now Rashee Rice, I think, is establishing himself as a top option on that team, and he should be. But they really do need a complement on the outside with him. I mean, we know what Travis Kelce can do. We've seen now what Rashee Rice can do, and it looks like in the last few weeks that they're finally allowing him to kind of blossom into that top role in their pass game. But they really do need someone else, because I can tell you for damn sure, we all know that it ain't MVS. So far, it's not Sky Moore. He's just not the guy that, you know, that we maybe hyped him to be so far.
You don't have to say so.
Oh, he can't stay healthy. And I mean, Justin Watson, Kadarius Toney, like they're just not. They don't have that. They really do need one more guy, it feels like, to really unlock this whole offense, because Pacheco has really become a weapon in the backfield. And I don't think there's any question that they've literally got dudes everywhere they need, except they need one more guy on the outside in that pass game to really make this thing go.
Yeah, 100%. We got a comment coming in from Z Money. I need Mixon and ETN to combine for 37 points. He doesn't tell us what scoring format he's in, but even in full point PPR, look, you got two running backs going in the Monday night game. That's the good news. That can be had. It's not impossible. You're going to need a big game out of, or at least a good game out of both of them, or a big game out of one of them. I think you got a better chance at Travis Etienne delivering you closer to the goodies. Your key is Mixon's going to have to score. And I don't know if Mixon scores. I don't know if Cincinnati has the ball enough for him to score. Has enough
opportunity. Mixon's going to have to get some looks in the pass game.
Yeah. And
you're hoping that Mixon gets some looks in the pass game. And then you're hoping that Etienne,
You're hoping Zach Taylor simplifies the playbook. I don't know what he was trying to accomplish last time we saw Jake Browning out there with Cincinnati Bengals. I don't know why he's trying to treat him like he was like a lesser man Joe Burrow, because he's not. He's not even a lesser man Joe Burrow. He's just flat out a backup quarterback. You're hoping Zach Taylor just comes out with a better game plan where it's centered or more so around Joe Mixon, which is what it should be. But until we actually see it, we don't necessarily have the confidence in it. It should be centered around Joe Mixon and have Jake Browning play off of that rather than the other way around. So we'll have to see if that game plan changes tomorrow. But with Jacksonville, to your point, Jacksonville should be up in this game. It should be a negative game script. So Mixon's going to have to be involved in the passing game. There was some talk about Chase Brown getting more involved. We'll see if that actually happens or not. But I would say, look, is it a possibility? Yes, Z-Money, it's a possibility. I put you at about a 22% chance of these two guys going for 37 points, though.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
You're telling me there's a chance.
Keep the faith, bro. Keep the faith.
That's all we need heading to the playoffs. You just got to make the playoffs, baby. And that's what I want you guys to do. And I want you, that's why I want to make sure you guys are following us throughout the week. Make sure you tune back in on Wednesday for our Operation Domination episode. We can preview all of week 14, the last week of the regular season. That'll be on Wednesday night at 9:30 here on our YouTube channel live. Make sure you subscribe, hit the bell notification to get notified whenever we have new content available to you. We'll also be available on our podcast app, your favorite podcast app, wherever that may be, so you can listen to us on the go. Make sure you follow us on social media at Billy Up MDFF Show on X, MDFF Show everywhere else. We'll have our waiver wire rankings up, and of course me and Chase will have our rankings up on BillyUpFantasySports.com throughout the week. Any final notes there, Chase?
No, I'm still trying to process this whole Packer win here, because their schedule sets up great for the next 3 weeks.
Packers getting a win, 49ers getting a win, you guys hopefully are getting a win. We'll see you guys on Wednesday night.